Blog Talk Radio.
And the life. Lord, I just praise you this morning. Lord, I worship you. I thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, for your peace. I thank you, Lord, you've made a way for us. I thank you for truth, the truth of your word. Father, we praise your name today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Praise be to God. There's a lot. There's a lot to say this morning. I'm kind of overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by quite a few things this morning, but I don't know. There's some things on my heart this morning. And we're just going to kind of go with it. Where we end up, the Holy Spirit knows. But take your Bible this morning. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Now, you guys know I don't usually do Resurrection Sunday, or what people call Easter Sunday. I don't usually do messages that are oriented toward whatever holiday or special day it might be. But you're never wrong about talking about the resurrection of Jesus. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, probably from a little angle that most people don't focus on. And then we're going to go into some other things that hopefully will help you. You know, this morning, and as you're turning to Romans 10, this morning thoughts were going through my mind as I got up to pray about Christianity, about the struggle Christians have to live the Christian life. And it's really not that easy sometimes, is it? Just the struggle against our own flesh that wants to sin all the time. The struggle against our emotions that are easily offended or easily wounded. You know, we got a battle going on. Then we got family problems, problems with kids, problems with marital issues. We have problems with friends. We have problems in church. We, you know, sometimes it almost gets completely overwhelming just trying to live this life as a Christian, you know. I think every true Christian understands that, you know, God wants us to live obedient lives. He wants us to live righteous lives. He wants us to live holy lives as we possibly can, that we have responsibility to try to be what God wants us to be. But here's the dilemma that we're in as Christians. And this comes from somebody who's been saved since I was young, fallen away, come back, been back with the Lord 27 years, and walked this thing out with ups and downs, with falls and struggles. By no means has my Christian walk or my Christian life been perfect or without sin or without struggle or I hope I don't portray that. I really hope that I don't try to seem holier than everybody else, because I'm not. But I've realized that, you know, that God wants us to live as obedient and righteous and holy, but the Christian dilemma is that even the people who don't make excuses, that don't try to come up with doctrines like once saved, always saved, or what they call hyper grace now, and try to make excuses to live in sin, even the ones trying to live godly lives, obedient lives, who are walking in the truth and have the fear of God, we all still struggle with sin, don't we? And we all still sin in our thoughts, in our hearts, with our mouths especially, don't we? With our eyes. There's a struggle there. Now, here's what I want to get at. I'm just going to read a few verses here. But let's look at the famous verse real quick in Romans 10. I'm going to go through a few verses this morning. Probably not that typical for our church to deal with, because so many abuse this truth the wrong way. But let's look at this. This is Romans chapter 10. Everybody there? Okay, we're going to start with verse 1. Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He's talking about his own people, the Jewish people. He says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ, Jesus, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, and that is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The statement I just want to make this morning to everyone who may be listening or who may listen to this message and to our church, this is not an excuse this morning to live in sin, to compromise, to backslide, to do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. But hear what I'm saying this morning. There is no one, no one that will be good enough or righteous enough in their own strength or in their own self. What I'm saying is there'll never be a point that you don't need the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you, the forgiveness of God that comes from two things: his death on the cross, his sinless blood that was shed on that cross, and his resurrection from the dead. Now, did you know that if you don't believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Messiah, if you don't believe that he physically and bodily rose from the dead, do you understand you're not saved? There are people out there who say they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in him as the Messiah, the resurrected Son of God. They don't believe in him as that way. And notice, and this is something that I think a lot of people just kind of, I think we just kind of bypass it when he said, for if you, what? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. It's an absolute requirement for salvation, for eternal life, to be saved, to be forgiven of your sins. You have to believe in Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross for the sins of mankind, and you have to believe that he rose from the dead. And if you don't, Paul says your faith is vain. Pretty strong, isn't it? Let's read another passage about this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. See, there's a lot of blasphemers now that are changing who Jesus is and what he did. You can never allow that to happen. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look at this, starting at verse 1. Vitally important here. And here's what's amazing. You know what? When you read this and realize that Paul wrote this, when he wrote this letter to the Corinthians, when he wrote this letter, that most of the eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection were still alive. So when the apostles, of course, wrote, the Gospels were written, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John were written before this, most of the people who were there, who were eyewitnesses to Jesus' resurrection, and I'm saying how he showed himself alive, we'll read that, to over 500 people, most of those people were still alive. So had these things been lies, you would not have had the growth and explosion of the church and thousands and thousands and thousands of people becoming Christians and churches beginning all over the countryside in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. What I'm saying is you can't, there's no way that little persecuted group could have built a religion around a lie. Impossible. What I'm saying is it was a religion built upon eyewitnesses. All right. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein you stand, by which you also are saved, if, you see that right there? By which ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, or Peter, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and by his grace, he said, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Wow. How tied the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross to his resurrection from the dead. You can't have one without the other. Basically, the work of redemption, the work of Jesus Christ, was not finished for you or for me until he rose from the dead. And if you don't believe that, then you have believed in vain, whatever you believed. And think about that. If you don't believe Jesus rose from the dead, how can there be any hope that one day you will rise from the dead and live forever? There is none. Right? So this is what I love about the Scriptures, about Christianity, about Jesus. You know what? Muhammad died. Right? No record. No witnesses that he rose from the dead. Buddha died. They don't even claim he rose from the dead. You get my point? There's one God, man, who came in the flesh, who paid for sin, and rose from the dead. Only one. Jesus. And if anybody makes him out to be anything less, or makes what he did anything less, they're blasphemers, antichrist, deceived, liars, whatever you want to put the stamp on them. Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead is not just a story in the Bible. It is a historical, proven account. It actually happened. Secular historians of the day wrote about it, both Roman and Jewish. The God-man really walked on the earth 2,000 years ago. Josephus, the Jewish historian, even admitted there was a man named Jesus who went about doing miracles among the people. He said many said he was the Messiah, and he even admitted he probably was. Amen? The Roman Empire did everything they could do to squash and to destroy the early church. And the more Christians they killed, the more the church grew. The more Romans, you know that Romans went to the Colosseum? Many Romans went to the Colosseum to see the Christians torn apart by the lions and the destroyed and killed and murdered. And they would see them singing and praising God. And you know that many Romans got saved because they realized these people have something I don't have. They have a reason to know that there's something beyond this miserable life. And folks, let me just be honest with you. Are there some joys in this life? Yeah, there's a few. But as Paul said, in this passage in 1 Corinthians 15, a little later, he said, if in this life only we have hope, if everything, if all of our hope is in this physical world, in this limited life that we have, if that's where our hope is and that's all the hope that we have, we are of all men most miserable. I've said this many times, but I'll say it again. I love my wife. I love my children. I want people to know Jesus. I want to do the work that God has given me to do, but I really don't like this place. I don't like the world. I don't like the wickedness. I don't like the evil, and I don't like the feeling of being pulled towards it sometimes. If you've never said these words, Lord, I hate myself. I hate why. I hate what's in me that wants to sin, whether it's anger, whether it's lust, whether it's impatience, whether it's greed, whether it's whatever it may be. You know, Paul made it very clear in Romans 7. He says that in our flesh dwells no good thing. The world is covered in darkness and sin. I'm sorry if that upsets you, especially if you're a younger person and you think everything out there is wonderful. Well, it's not. Frankly, I like what Keith Green, the famous musician and evangelist and prophet, I like what he said. He said, you know what? He said, compared to heaven, living down here is like living in a garbage can. And no matter how much you try down here to live the way you need to live, it's still a garbage can. It's filth all around. There's filth everywhere you look. There's just And the problem is that it lurks in us. Isn't that amazing? People want to look at Christians and expect a Christian to never sin. Well, I got news for them. A Christian, don't think a Christian is never going to sin. That's ridiculous. But then we got the other side of the fence that thinks that Christians can do anything they want because of what Jesus did on the cross for them, and that's a lie too. Right? And some people think, oh, you're preaching law when you say that a Christian should live a holy life or an obedient life. No, we're not preaching law. We're just preaching what makes sense. Why do we want to continue to contribute to the evil of this world? Why do we want to continue to be part of that world system? A true Christian that's been born again, that's been touched by God, that loves God, that has the Holy Spirit living in them, will hate sin, will hate when they sin. They won't hate people, but they will hate sin. They will hate its uncleanness, its foulness, its meanness, its violence, and its ultimate end, which is destruction in people's lives and death in people's lives and sickness, and of course eventually eternal damnation in hell. We should hate what leads people to hell. What leads people to hell? Sin. Sin that people won't bring to Jesus and say, Lord, have mercy on me, forgive me, wash me, help me never do this again. And see, that's what this morning I was just, I almost posted. I'm gonna read to you in my notes here what I wrote down this morning. Are y'all with me? Is this okay? This is what I wrote down in my notes this morning. You can just write down these. I'm going to go through these scriptures rather quickly and then read what I wrote here. But Psalm 39, verse 5, Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. Mine age is as nothing before me. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Can I just say something? No matter how good you are, no matter how righteous you may live, no matter how much knowledge you have of the Bible or don't have, at your best state, vanity, emptiness. Why is that? Because apart from Jesus, apart from His righteousness, apart from His blood applied to our life through faith and repentance, apart from Him and His resurrection from the dead, we are nothing. We have nothing good to offer God. We have no goodness of our own. We have no works of our own. We have nothing of our own that God can say, you know what? I'll take that instead of what Jesus did on the cross for you. No. When you come to God, you better be coming to God saying, God, the only reason I can come to you is because I believe Jesus died on that cross for me, and I believe that only His blood can wash me and make me righteous, and I believe He rose from the dead, and He is the only Messiah and the only way to salvation and the only way that I'm anything good in your sight. And God, because of that, because of what He did for me, I want to do what I can for you. I want to live as holy as I can. I don't want to contribute anymore to the filth and the wickedness in this world. I don't want it anymore. I want you. That was just one verse. Next verse. Ecclesiastes 7:20. Frankly, I could just preach on Ecclesiastes 7 for a while, but we won't do that today. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20 says this, For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Oh, you mean the Pope sins? Yep, he sure does, every time he prays to Mary. Am I picking on him? Nope. There are no perfect holy men. Oh, well, the priests, they don't marry. They don't get married, so that means they're holy. No, it doesn't. I'm going to read Romans 10, 9 and 10 again, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Then to Christians in 1 John 1:8-9, this is what he said. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Do you know that there are people out there saying that they're not sinners anymore, that they don't sin? You know, what I just heard recently was, what's her name? The woman preacher on TV? Joyce Meyer. That's it. She doesn't sin anymore. She said that. She doesn't sin. She also said Jesus suffered in hell, which is another lie. But you get what I'm saying? Hear what I'm saying? I don't care who said it. If they say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Right? And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, this is what's so amazing. The good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that all He wants you to do is confess it. Confess your sin and do your best to turn away from it and walk with Him and obey Him and love Him and believe in what He did for you and appreciate it enough to change. Amen? Knowing you will not do it perfectly, but you're not going to live like you lived before. You're going to walk a new walk. You're going to walk a new life. And if you fall down, if you stumble, if you mess up, you're going to say, God, forgive me. I confess it as sin. I need the blood of Jesus to cleanse me. And the good news of the gospel of Jesus is that He will forgive you if you confess your sins. We got Joseph Prince and people saying you don't have Christians don't have to confess their sins anymore. And here he says to Christians, if we confess our sins, then He is faithful and just. Everybody say this with me.
I need.
Wait a minute, I didn't hear about it. We'll say it again. I need. The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
To wash my sins away.
Wash my sins away.
More than one time. Oh, see. Folks, we either go with the Bible or we go with our TV preachers. Which one do you pick? Hey, man, it's an easy pick, isn't it? It should be anyway. Right? Now let me read this. Here's what I said this morning. And I really already said it, but I'm going to say it again for those listening, and those of you in here for the recording, for everything else. But this is it. I said, no one is good enough or righteous enough on their own. Salvation is all about faith in the atoning death of Jesus Christ on the cross and His bodily resurrection from the dead. This truth is not a license to sin, as some preach, but a reminder that apart from Jesus Christ, there is no hope of righteousness or eternal life in heaven, no matter how good you have been or plan to be. Man at his best state is altogether vanity apart from Jesus Christ. Is the blood of Jesus applied to your life? Is faith in the resurrection of Jesus applied to your heart? Do you hate when you sin and want to live for Him? Then you're on the right road. Amen. See, matter of fact, everybody turn with me. Turn to Ecclesiastes 7. I think we need to back up. I want to show you something here. I could almost preach a message, and I almost did, lessons from Ecclesiastes. Some amazing lessons that Solomon gave us by the Holy Spirit, even though he screwed up royally. I'll show you something. Before that verse 20 that I read a minute ago, We're going to start reading at verse 15. I'm going to show you something. Maybe this will set somebody free out there. Everybody there? Ecclesiastes? All right. Ecclesiastes, verse 15, chapter 7, verse 15. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Doesn't seem fair, does it? Guess what? Look at me, everybody. A whole lot of stuff in this world, it's not fair. And we're about to see a whole lot more evil that's going to look like evil is triumphing. And it ain't going to be fair. But remember, God has the final say. And there's a whole lot after this life. All right? But look at what he says in verse 16. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself overwise. Why should you destroy yourself? Uh-oh. And we're going to dig into that in a second here. Let's keep reading. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also, from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Let's look at that again. Let's read that again, because that's be not righteous overmuch. Neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? But there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of people out there who love God. They're trying everything they know to do the right thing. And when they fail or when they fall or when they struggle or when difficulties come into their lives, immediately what they go to is, I've done something wrong. I'm terrible. I can't do this. I know, listen, I've seen on Facebook even young people that say, and even a lot of homosexuals that have tried to, made attempts to come out and follow Jesus, but a lot of them will say, you know, I tried and couldn't do it. Well, welcome to the club. Right? You're not going to do it right every time. And that's what he's saying there when he's saying try to be over-righteous so much so that you destroy yourself. That when you can't perform everything perfectly or you can't do it or you fall down, many people fall down. Many people mess up. Many people sin. And what they do is they say, I can't do it perfectly. I can't do everything right. I can't live the Christian life. I've got it. They get it in their head that I've got to be perfect and completely never sin and never do anything wrong. And they got this idea in their head and they say, I can't do it. So they end up destroying themselves because they say, I can't do it. So I'm just going to go live in sin. I'm just going to go do what I want to do. I'm just going to go be wicked. I'm just going to go the other direction. I mean, listen, I've counseled people. I've heard people tell me that right there. I can't do it, so I just decided to just go indulge. Do you know that that's the conclusion that Solomon came to? He said, I tried everything under the sun. I had more wisdom and more revelation from God than anybody else. But then he said, but then I just decided I'm going to give myself over. It was all vanity. What God was trying to show Solomon was, it doesn't matter how righteous you are, it doesn't matter how wicked you are, if you don't know me and walk with me the best you can, you're going to be lost. And Solomon had all this wisdom and all this revelation, and God appeared to him twice. And God blessed everything he had, but Solomon lost his way because of this very thing right here. It's all emptiness. So I might as well give myself. He said, I will give myself to wine and much drink. We know he gave himself to much women. And finally, all that took him completely away from the Lord. Right? And so look what he's saying here. He says, don't get so focused on that you have to be perfect to be a Christian. You can't be. I know people in this room struggle with that. But neither go the other direction. Don't be overmuch wicked. What he's saying there is don't just give yourself to indulge in wickedness either. That is just foolish, is what he said. And you will die before your time and you will go to hell. Where is the balance? The balance is, I know I can't do it. 100%. Only one person ever lived sinless. And that was Jesus. And he died on the cross for us because he knew we couldn't do it. You understand that? It's a written law in us, in humanity, since the fall of Adam, that we can't do it ourselves, that we cannot in our own strength can keep from sinning 100%. We cannot do it. We should try. We should press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. We should resist temptation. We should resist the flesh. We should do what we all that we can do to walk with him in obedience and holiness and righteousness. But at the end of the day, there is nobody that can say, I am without sin, and the only thing that can wash that sin away is the blood of Jesus Christ and faith in the resurrection and confessing your sins and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I hate it. I don't want it. Help me. People who won't make it, the Christians who won't make it to heaven, are the ones that just give up and give themselves over to whether it be alcohol or drugs or sex or immorality or their anger or their offense. Which one will you be? See, here's the dilemma. All of us, all Christians, we're going to be on one of those sides. Remember what Jesus said. I love this passage in Matthew 24. But he that endures to the end will be saved. Endures what? The war with your own flesh to give up. The war with your own flesh to say, you know what, I messed up, so I might as well just go live in it. No, if you fell in the pig pen, don't live in the pig pen. Right? If you fell in the ditch, don't live in the ditch. If you're an alcoholic and you got saved and you ended up falling back and drinking and getting drunk, guess what? You fell in the ditch. Just don't stay in the ditch. Get up and confess your sin. Ask God to forgive you of your falling down and back into drunkenness. And get up and go back walking with Jesus. And know that Jesus loves you and he'll make you righteous. That's the good news. It's not over if you fall down. It's not over if you screw up. Isn't that good news? I know I've needed that in my life. Has anybody in here needed that in their life at some point? So I hope nobody thinks that Pastor Dean or Fire and Grace Church, that we think we're better than anybody else. No, everybody, listen, we got a church full of messed up people just like those churches out there. The only thing different is we're not going to preach doctrines that make you comfortable in indulging in sin and wickedness. We're not going to preach doctrines that make you comfortable fellowshipping with demons. We're not going to preach doctrines that contradict the Word of God. So in some respects, we are different than some churches. But don't think for a minute that Pastor Dean or Fire and Grace Church doesn't believe that our righteousness comes from Jesus Christ and not ourselves. We just don't want to disappoint him. If you love him, you don't want to disappoint him, and if you do, you hate it. It's that simple. Kids in here, teenagers, newsflash. Though you already know this, you got Christian parents, love God, but they mess up. They will not be perfectly righteous and perfect in everything. They will not happen. But guess what? If Jesus tarries long enough for you to have children, you will find out the same thing, that no matter how hard you try, they're going to see you mess up. Any parent in here ever done anything in front of a child that you shouldn't have done? Yeah. So guess what, kids? You got to forgive your parents when they messed up. And realize that you're going to mess up, and you're still supposed to honor them and respect them and obey them, even if they've messed up. You hear me? Guess what? That goes for your pastors and your elders. Newsflash. I know our elders in this church are not perfect men. I don't have to be told that. I know that. We all got problems. We all got personal struggles, family struggles, marital struggles, sin struggles, flesh struggles, don't we? Money struggles. You know, can I just be honest for a second? Y'all just don't know. Pastor Dean has some struggles that I sometimes almost feel overwhelmed with. My children, my two older children, breaking my heart, dishonoring me, rebelling, not even wanting to come visit me. You know how painful that is? Some days I want to quit. But, you know, I know enough to know there's nowhere else to go but Jesus. I get angry. I get impatient. I get overwhelmed with physical problems, money problems. I do not have it all together. I hope I don't ever give that impression. There's days I want to run away. You understand? I don't for 1 minute think I'm up here and you guys are down here. Not ever. Any days I wish I could just sit and not do anything. You know, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says, he that increases wisdom increases sorrow. I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. I too am overwhelmed with what I know is coming on this world. I have children. I'm not happy about what I know is coming. My life is quite the dilemma. Quite the irony. I pray for people, other people, and they get healed. I myself, I don't get healed most of the time. I have several things that just won't go away. I pray and sought God. I have nerve damage. I have arthritis. And I have an eye problem. But yet I prayed for people even in this church who have vision and eye problems, and God's healed them. Sometimes I get tired. Sometimes I'm in pain. Sometimes it's difficult even to go to work or come to church physically for me. But I will still believe that Jesus heals no matter what, because that's what the Bible says. So you understand. Just want you to know we're all in this struggle together. And there's days it ain't easy. Right? We'll finish with this scripture here. Go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 1. Because you know what? Here's the thing. I love the gift of prophecy, and I love when the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow, and I love to see people get saved. And we've seen people get saved in this last year. We've seen people get delivered from demons. We've seen people get healed. We've seen the power of Jesus working through this church and this ministry. We've seen thousands of people touched through messages, audio messages and articles and books. We've seen thousands of people. Just this morning, I took a picture just in the last few days on the DOL Ministries Facebook page, over 3,000 visits in just not even a week. And all that's, you know what, that's all good. But that doesn't mean that trying to preach this gospel, trying to stand against Satan, trying to get the truth out to the world, trying to pray for people, trying to see people saved, trying to see Christians, you know, come out of sin and lukewarmness and their struggles. You know, let me just tell you, sometimes you feel completely overwhelmed. And this scripture right here kind of sums it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is what he says, verse 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who has delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, and in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift may be bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." He says here, you know, this has always made me marvel that the Apostle Paul and his team of ministers could be this honest. When we went into Asia, we had great trouble. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, meaning the trouble and the pressures and the difficulties were above what we had strength to endure. What a comment from an apostle. Sometimes your physical struggles, your mental and emotional struggles, your battles with the powers of darkness, sometimes your difficulties with your kids or your spouse, sometimes you're just, all these things will come and it will be more than you have strength to bear. And what he's saying is we despaired even of life, meaning we lost hope. We lost hope we would make it through it. We didn't believe we could make it. Have you ever said, "I don't know if I can make it through this"?
Guess what? The Apostle Paul and his ministry team went through that very same thing. We don't even know if it's above our strength. It's so much trouble and pressure. It's overwhelming. It's beyond what we have the mental or spiritual or physical abilities to handle. But here's the good news. What did he say? Our faith, though, was in God who raises the dead. Even if we're dead emotionally, even if we're dead physically, even if we're dead spiritually, even if we're so, it's beyond us. Our faith is in the God who can let something die and then resurrect it back to life. And guess what? Sometimes God lets some things in your life die. He lets difficulties come. He lets overwhelming pressure come. He lets these things come so you will die and so that he can resurrect you into something else. There is no resurrection life without the death of something. Amen? The trials, the persecutions, the difficulties, the overwhelming circumstances, the pressure that makes you despair, God allows it. I like what John Kilpatrick, Pastor John, used to say. It's all Father-filtered, meaning nothing that comes to you does not pass through his hands first, and that he allows it to come so that it will make you stronger. And yes, sometimes it will feel like it is above measure. It's too much. It's above your strength. Well, guess what? He lets that happen on purpose. You have to understand that you have a limit to your physical strength and your own ability and your own determination, and you need the grace of God and the help of God and the mercy of God, and you need God to come and help. If you've never fallen on your face and wept tears and said, God, you have to help me. I can't do this. Then you got some growing up to do because that day's coming. Anybody ever done that before? See, that's what resurrection life's about. Look what he says in verse 10. Verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. You see that? Listen, if you could get yourself out of the financial trouble, if you could get yourself out of the marital trouble, if you could get yourself out of the trouble with the kids, if you could get yourself out, if you could get yourself out of it in your own strength, you wouldn't need God. What's he always trying to teach us? That we need him. Mankind's miserable attempts to fix themselves always leads to worse things. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. Who, good news, God delivered us from so great a death and does continue to deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. What's he saying? It got so bad, we had nothing left in ourselves. But we trusted in God, and you know what he did in that situation? He came in and he delivered us. And because of that, we know he will deliver us. Amen. God's in the business of doing what you cannot do for yourself. Doesn't give you a license to do nothing, to be lazy, to be irresponsible, to indulge yourself in wickedness. None of this is an excuse for sin. But God wants to see his people marching in the right direction. And even if they're falling down, he wants to see them marching in the right direction. And if they're marching in the right direction and they come to the end of their rope, and listen, I've been to the end of my rope many times. But one thing I refuse to do, when you get to the end of the rope, tie a knot and hang on. I'm not turning loose of you, Jesus. I'm not turning loose of you, God. I may be down in the ditch. I may be down in the pig pen. I may be under overwhelming pressure and emotional and physical pain, but you will deliver me. Because I don't trust in me. I only make it because of you. That's Christianity. No promise that we have. There's no promise of no difficulties. This Christianity of Joel Osteen and Rick Warren, it's just foolishness. We will be pressed out of measure, above strength. There will be points you despair even of life. Anybody ever said, I don't want to live in this mess. I don't want to live this way. I hate this. Welcome to the club. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you today. We thank you today, Lord, that you will be there to those who cry out to you. Those who look to you, those who put their trust in you, those who, when they go through the difficult times, Lord, will continue to trust and cry out to you and believe, even when it looks like everything is going down the tubes. Lord, so many people need to grasp a hold of this, because, Lord, many have suffered great difficulties in this present time, but, Lord, we know that greater difficulties and greater tests and greater trials are coming. So God, teach us. Teach us to trust that you will deliver us. And that you are the God who raises the dead. That even if it's death physically or emotionally or spiritually, even if it's beyond us and we feel like we're dying on the inside, you are the God of resurrection life and power. You proved it through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the Messiah. He went to the cross. He never sinned. He became sin for us. It was a terrible, painful, difficult thing for him to go to that cross and be nailed to that cross and to suffer that pain. And the curse of sin and the curse of sickness and disease and all the curses of mankind and the earth all put on him. It was a dark day. Lord, it was so bad that the sun was darkened for hours. But Lord, on the third day, sin was defeated and death was defeated and hope for mankind. When Jesus came up from that grave. So, Lord, we thank you for the power of just the truth, Lord, that we have a risen Savior and we have hope. Even in death, we have hope of the resurrection. And not just hope, Lord, but a certainty that you will do it. With every head bowed in this place and every eye closed, for just a minute, I want to say this. And if today you need to confess your sins and to give your life to Jesus, maybe you haven't fully. Maybe you've believed, but you haven't believed at all. Maybe you've believed, but you haven't decided to give it up and follow him. I'm going to give you an opportunity today to really ask Jesus to forgive you, to be your Lord and Savior, and to start walking with him in faith of his death and his resurrection and knowing him. So if you need that this morning, Kevin's going to play a song, and if you Bible verse to confess
Jesus. My hope is found. Jesus, I must pray, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, talk of the future, drought and stones. What a high ground, and what that's gonna be when fears are true, striving to see my comfort, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ, I stay.
Death, resurrection, death,
in Christ alone, in strong flesh, both God and hell, let's
better day.
Kiss of love, and our eyes in the goes on a worthy game, days, in the world
Here is the power of Christ. I'm
tale. Sing this out, lady. But you can wash away my sin. Nothing but the love but can make me whole again. Nothing but the love but you wash away my sin. But can wash away my sin. Nothing but the love what can make me whole. Can make me whole again. Nothing but the blood. Oh, how precious. Oh,
from the dead and we can know him. Lord, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Lord, I thank you. God, I just thank you, Lord, that you opened my eyes many years ago to that truth. Somebody pray for me. Hallelujah. Go ahead and pray for the Lord. Thank you for what he's done for us. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Risen saints. Risen saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to sign us off before we'll take up our offering in just a second, but I'll sign us off. We're glad that those of you joined us by Shoutcast Radio and by Blog Talk Radio. We pray you have a blessed day. Hopefully with your family, friends. All you got to do is not about bunny and eggs and candy. It's about the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. All right.